Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. We have a story, some breaking news here from oil CEO of Saudi Aramco saying, and you could say he's biased, of course. I totally get that. We'll go over it in the story, kind of go over both sides. But he's saying that if this ESG movement continues, there's going to be less investment in oil and fossil fuels, which may be great for the environment, but we have to understand there are no solutions. There are only trade-offs. Therefore, there will be a cost-benefit analysis. That may be the benefit for cleaner air. Cost is going to be economic devastation and much more social unrest in the future. I agree. He could be biased, but I think he's hitting the nail right on the head. And I think this is very important for us to understand that, or understand this concept as investors that are trying to position ourselves to really weather the economic storm that we most likely will continue to have throughout this period of the fourth turning. So let's get into the article. This is from CNBC. Saudi Aramco CEO warns of social unrest if new investment in fossil fuels ends too quickly. Again, I could not agree more. And this is not to say that the ESG movement is bad. It's not to say that climate change doesn't exist. It's not to say that it's not man-made or whatever. I'm not taking a stance on the debate with this story or with this video. The only thing I am doing is pointing out that if you try to transition to wind and solar or away from fossil fuels too quickly, before there's enough energy to make up for the lack of energy that's being produced by fossil fuels, you're going to decrease the standard of living globally to a massive degree, to a degree to which I don't think people really comprehend. It goes back to what my good friend Art Berman has said so many times, and that is energy is the economy. So if we have less energy or less dense energy sources, and that is what we're trying to use to subsidize the lack of very, very dense energy sources like fossil fuels, we just have to be okay with that and understanding that our standard of living is not going to continue. The standard of living is going to decrease massively, and so will economic output. And if economic output globally decreases massively, that means that there's more poverty. That means that there's a lower life expectancy. That means there's more famine. You go right on down the list. This is what we have to grapple with. This is not something where, again, it's like this movie type scenario where Tom Cruise will just figure out some sort of magic silver bullet right at the end of the movie, you know, when there's 3 minutes left and he's on some sort of cliffhanger. That's not the real world. The real world is we've got a lot of bad options. Which is the least worst, or the least bad option, I guess would be more grammatically correct. All right, so let's go over the key points. Amin Nasser, the CEO of Saudi Aramco, urged global leaders on Monday to continue investing in planet-warming fossil fuels in the years ahead. Nasser, during remarks, and you've got to also understand that although you may say he's biased, I don't know. Because think about it from his standpoint. They're going to continue to pump oil out of the ground regardless. They know darn well that the demand is going to stay consistent. Might taper off a little bit, but not significantly over the next, let's say, decade. So if global governments, or if global corporations, if large pools of money stop investing in fossil fuels right now today, who does that actually benefit? That benefits Saudi Aramco, because they're going to have the oil regardless, and there's going to be significant demand regardless. So that means the price of oil skyrockets, and that means more profit for Saudi Aramco, and most likely much higher compensation packages and an increase in the net worth of Mr. Nasir. So initially I said that maybe he's biased, but you know, maybe he's not here. I think there's an argument for that. So Mr. Nasir, during remarks at the World Petroleum Congress in Houston, Texas. Oh, and by the way, let me go ahead and use that to plug Rebel Capitalist Live. I wore this shirt today to remind myself to plug it. I keep forgetting. So the price increases by $100 December 15th. So if you're thinking about going, make sure you take action today. Go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can check out the amazing list of speakers we're going to have there. Houston, January 7th to the 9th. And make sure you get your ticket now before the tickets completely sell out, or before December 15th and the price goes up by $100. So anyway, back to the story here. While he was at this conference, he claimed that transitioning to cleaner fuels too rapidly could prompt uncontrolled inflation. Makes sense, right? I mean, you can imagine if we just stop investing in fossil fuels and then the price of oil goes to $200 a barrel. I mean, think that one through for a moment. Right now, the price of oil is, where are we in the 70s, Josh? Okay, we're just saying we're close, probably 70s. And I just paid $5 a gallon for gas. That's in Arizona. I can't even comprehend what they're paying for gas right now in California. And so, I mean, if that's the price that we're paying for gas at, let's just even call it $80 a barrel oil, what are we paying for gas at $200? See, and then take it a step further. What does that do to the purchasing power for the average American making $50,000 a year, where the majority of their paycheck is going to shelter, food, and energy? If the cost of energy triples, quadruples, quintuples, that means they have a lot less money for shelter and food, while the price of shelter and food, in addition to the energy, is going straight up. So I don't think it's outlandish at all to say that that would result most likely in higher inflation, at least in those three metrics, which I think are the most important, and then how you can see that would lead to much more social unrest in the future. Mr. Nasir's statements come amid pressure on oil and gas producers to limit production of climate-changing fossil fuels and shift to renewable power development. Again, fine. That can be an objective. But just realize that there's a cost to that. We have to do a simple analysis of the trade-offs. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So we talked about his views here in the bullet points. He was arguing that this transition overnight, or this view that we could transition overnight, is deeply flawed. During his remarks at this conference, we talked about that the transitioning rapidly could prompt uncontrolled inflation, uncontrolled, and ultimately upend nations' emission targets to curb carbon pollution. So, and we see this playing out right now in Europe and in the United States. So Joe Biden comes out and says how he's all for clean energy, Green New Deal. We've got, you know, climate change is our number one problem. And then, but when the price of gas goes up, he's like, oh, yeah, Saudi Arabia, can you go ahead and pump more gas or more oil? And then he says, oh, yeah, the reserve petroleum or the, I forgot what they call it, are the United States has emergency reserves of oil. He says, okay, yeah, let's get those out on the market to try to bring down the price of fuel. What happened to green energy, Joe? I don't understand. You see, my point there, and this gentleman makes it very well, is governments can come out and talk about how they want this and how they want that carbon emissions. They, you know, this clown in California always comes out and says that, oh, well, we want to have no gas vehicles in by the year 2030 or 2035 or whatever he said. And fine, you can go ahead and say that. But the bottom line is if we get there and if we try to move that quickly, regardless of whatever pie in the sky dream you have, that's going to mean that prices are going to skyrocket. And I would like to see what Gavin Newsom has to say when the price of gas in California is $20 a gallon, right? He's all of a sudden, I think, going to backpedal on that very, very quickly, or I should say backpedal on his view that, you know, we need to study. And you can see that happening right now with uranium and with nuclear energy, that the cost of energy skyrockets. And now all of a sudden, well, maybe nuclear energy is not so bad. Or, you know, that's happening right now in Europe with the with natural gas. So he goes on to say, I understand that publicly admitting that oil and gas will play an essential and significant role during the transition beyond will be hard for some, he said during the conference, which is focused on, yeah, so he's saying he gets it. It's going to be hard for some to accept this. But whether or not you want to accept it, it's the cold, hard truth. And we can sit here and live in carbon emissions dream world, or we can just look at reality and, again, come to the conclusion that we've got a list of bad options. There's no silver bullet. So what is the least bad option that we can strive for? I mean, it's really about having an adult conversation about it, for heaven's sakes. Just having an intellectually honest adult conversation. And for some reason, global leaders and the mainstream media is just incapable of doing that. He says, but admitting this reality will be far easier than dealing with energy insecurity, rampant inflation, social unrest as prices become intolerably high, and seeing net zero commitments by countries start to unravel. Exactly what we just talked about. Nestor's remarks come amid mounting pressure on oil and gas industry to limit exploration of production of fossil fuels and shift to renewable power development as countries set new carbon emissions reduction targets to battle climate change. The Internal Energy Agency in May warned that investments in new oil and gas projects must immediately stop in order for the world to achieve net zero emissions. So here's where we can do just a simple cost-benefit analysis. So let's just say that we did this. Let's just say that tomorrow, as of tomorrow, investments in new oil and gas projects stopped, went down to zero. And we never invested another dime into oil and gas projects. How many people would that kill? And you say, oh, well, I don't know, in the United States here, you know, I don't know, everyone on my block would survive. Okay, well, let's think this through. Let's think through the emerging markets. Let's think through countries like Colombia, countries in Africa, countries in Asia, and they're completely dependent upon fossil fuels. There is no way you could go to a country like Ecuador, as an example, and you could just turn off the switch and turn it over to, or turn off the switch for petroleum. It's not going to happen. And you could say, well, they should do that. Okay, well, what they should and what they can do are two completely separate things. And what that's going to lead to is that's going to lead to massive, massive famine. That's going to lead to, I mean, just catastrophic health consequences in the form of people not being able to heat their house, people not being able to put food on the table, people not being able to run their car. You want to talk about supply shortages? I mean, my goodness gracious, if you think what we have or what we've seen in 2020 and 2021 is bad, just stop investment tomorrow in oil and gas and show me what the supply chain issues look like in a year. See, people just don't think this through. And I think the main takeaway here for investors is you have to understand that these politicians are going to continue to push this narrative. So what does that mean long term for a super cycle in commodity prices? I think that that means it continues to go up. Now, in the interim, going back to what we're talking about in the euro dollar futures curve, that could mean lower commodity prices, significantly lower. But that's why you pay attention to this stuff and you put that on a watch list and have an overall macro view for 10, 20 years down the road. This is what Jim Rogers teaches us. And therefore, when you see, when you have that watch list that goes out 10, 15 years, not just 10 or 15 days, then when something goes down in price that you like for the next 15 years, then you can go ahead, pull the trigger, take action. And if you're getting paid to own that asset, then you never have to worry about selling. So I think that's what I try to do. Obviously, I can't give you individual investment advice, but you just have to kind of understand these concepts so you can build your portfolio around your individual objectives. Okay, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon or evening. Make sure that you're always standing up and fighting for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And we'll see you on the next video. 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 And we'll see.